You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 19th, 2015, and Gamescom makes E3 look like a GameStop.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alpore.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. This is a serious but not humorless discussion about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, we take a look around the internet, yep, see what's new.
Little gander.
Sometimes we send George out on assignment.
Oh, dear God.
It was a sneaking mission.
I feel, it's like Mission Impossible.
George took a little break to go to Gamescom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And probably have enough human interaction to last an entire lifetime.
Yeah. You know, like, that feeling that, like, ants are covering your entire body, mm-hmm, and how horrifying it would be? That's kind of what Gamescom is like.
Except the ants are Germans.
The ants are Germans in, like, weird League of Legends cosplay. Oh, which is actually my fetish.
Unsurprising. Also unsurprising that's in Germany.
That's also true.
So I was watching a little bit from afar, and now that Gamescom has died down, it's been, what, 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, I took a little vacation afterwards, so yeah. I've been gone.
We wanted to talk a little bit about just what was Gamescom. I'm just interested in... Ask George anything about Gamescom. That's what I'm going to do for this podcast.
Well, so this was the first time I've ever been to Gamescom.
Yes.
Which is very much like E3.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the largest fan-attended games event in the world.
People were saying, what is it, like 300,000 or something like that?
Yeah. What is the population of Cologne, Germany, where it's held? I have a hard time believing that the city doesn't, in fact, double
right
with every Gamescom.
Let me see if I can just do a quick little Wikipedia math here.
Cologne, Germany, population.
Population, see what we got here. See how much we can increase it.
1 million. So a quarter.
More than a quarter. More so than you're reaching. I mean, and honestly, 450 is low because if that's just attendees, then people who come in temporarily to do business, like vendors, merchants,
yes,
like
also
other people.
True, yeah.
Like, so you're easily adding 50% of the. Yeah.
Well, and keep in mind, like, Cologne is a relatively big city.
Yeah.
All these people are in one location. So the way that Cologne Gamescom actually works out is that it starts proper Wednesday, mm-hmm, of the week, the first week in August this year. And then the first 2 days are trade days. So that's when, like, that is like the E3 segment.
Mm.
And then it continues Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
When into business what I can, gets
when
done.
Business, yeah, when, whoa, we take off our business hats and put on our party hats. Uh-huh. And it's what I can only describe as, like, an orgy of video games. And, like, everything. Like,
everything.
I made a joke about it making E3 look like a GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally true. Like, the size of Gamescom, it's, like, it's impossible for you to comprehend how massive this fucking show is. They have rooms. They have two separate rooms of laser tag. like, laser guns or whatever.
Why?
No idea. They're, the huge section of one of the floors was devoted to RC cars.
Mm.
And people were, like, building RC cars and then racing them around a track.
Hmm. Were there RC planes?
Probably. I probably just didn't see them. But, yeah, probably. So, I mean, it's huge. It's huge.
It's a huge convention center, right?
Yes. It's, like, three convention centers put together. Like, it's absurd. There's enormous...
They're all connected?
Yes, they're, mm-hmm, all connected, but so they're connected with, like, one, like, a long hallway and meandering path, and there's, mm-hmm, a couple of, like, other paths. But imagine, like, you know those hangars where they keep spaceships? Huge.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you're gonna go to, like, JPL's secret laboratory or whatever, and so it's like a huge, like...
Every hall is basically like a huge hangar.
Mm.
And there are, I think, 11 halls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of these 11 huge hangars. And then there's also, like, a business area.
Oh,
so those Tuesday
area
and Wednesday is, like, that's where you get, like, respite if you're there for work. Like, you go there and you drink water and you, like, pray to God that you never have to see a video game again in your life. And then you go and join the masses in these, like, enormous halls. And so part of it is a lot of the game companies have the same presence that they have at something like E3, but because there's so much space, they can sort of stretch out.
Mm, right? Yeah. So like Blizzard, E3 is kind of cramped.
I mean, in a way, compared to Gamescom, like, so Blizzard had a huge section of a hall, about half of a hall was just Blizzard. And so they had a huge section that was just StarCraft, like many, probably like, you know, 150 computers or something like that.
Where you could just play StarCraft?
Yeah, you could just line up and play.
Because they're putting out the new, whatever. The last expansion.
Yeah. Is that the Zerg one? No, it must be Protoss.
I think it's Protoss. I don't know.
So you can go and play that, but then they have a whole big section just for Overwatch, and then a whole big section for Hearthstone, and then a big section for Heroes of the Storm, and a big section where they had, like, collectibles, and they still have huge banners, and they still have like life-size models of fucking big gorilla people from Overwatch and stuff. Like, all of this was there in this huge size. Like, that alone would be
is that its impressive. Own hall?
It's not. It's half of a hall.
Half of a hall.
Whew. The other half is like, you know, Destiny is there with like a huge section. You know, I mean, this is the same hall that has like a Rock Band, I think, was there. Disney Infinity. So it's like the sort of Activision section.
Ah, yes. Activision Hall.
Right. But then, you know, EA has one. Mm. All of the big guys are there.
So I know, I don't know how interesting this is to people, but people can deal with it. I love the logistics of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Are there trams?
No. So like,
so you have to walk your ass all the way down.
You have to walk. Man. It's really far. When it's like Saturday.
I mean, do you think it could be a mile from end to end?
Yeah.
I think so.
Probably.
I mean, that's not too crazy, right?
Like, in my mind, it was like a fucking... It was like the Sahara Desert. If, like, Vegas was there, like, it's incredible. And, like, I fucked up and went to the wrong room once, and I felt like I arrived at my, like, meeting point an hour later than I should have.
Because you could be on the other side of the...
I mean, it is a long walk. Yes, 100% it is a long walk from one end to the other.
And no trams.
But, and this, keep in mind, this is when there's, like... In the ideal scenario, and there's no one in your way.
Yeah,
Saturday,
yeah.
When like actually a huge number of people actually show up.
Because they let the masses in on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's maybe like this major thoroughfare, this major hallway is probably, not only is it incredibly long, but it's maybe, I don't know, 50 feet wide.
Mm.
Right? Like it's actually pretty wide. It's a very wide hall.
Mm-hmm.
No joke though, during like the heated time, it could take you 5 minutes. To move from one side of the hall to the other side of the hall. Because it's so dense.
It's just a wall of humanity.
It's just a wall of human beings moving in different directions.
Is it all inside?
It's all inside.
It seems like at a certain
point...
Well,
there's some space outside. Like,
that's
in
what
between the halls. So, but like people are smoking and like, you know, eating food. There's like some food trucks and stuff.
Hmm.
Most of it is inside. Hmm. It doesn't have the outside presence in the way that E3 does.
Yeah.
You know, because at E3 there's some like... You know, there's some activities outside. Sony has a booth.
Yeah.
And there's, like, food trucks.
Or sometimes you go from one theater to the other, basically. Like, you can kind of cut around and, like...
Yeah, there's some of that. But most of the stuff is inside.
I hear that it's really hot there during this time of year.
It was very warm.
Yeah.
It was very warm. But the hall was... I mean, everything was relatively cool.
That's what I was going to ask. Cool inside?
Yeah, cool inside.
Hmm. How was that Wi-Fi situation?
I mean, non-existent. Yeah, like,
okay.
Good luck.
It just crashes immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, I mean, it's, everyone is on the network, so it's pretty miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I was on, like, international roaming, whatever, so who knows? It could have been worse for me.
That German internet. You never know how that's going to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it basically like the kind of E3 experience where you have the same... Like 5 minute soundtrack demo loop that follows you around the whole time, like, you know, you just hear, like, by the end of the show you can kind of recite whatever trailer is blaring at you from across the stage?
I would say yes if you're in like one specific hall, but again, like, there's so many, like, even the third or fourth day I was there, I like found a new hall. It's like opening up the door and being like, oh my god, there's a whole new world here.
There's more video games here.
Yeah, it's like open up a door and all of a sudden, like, you're in Narnia, and it's like, what? Why is this here?
Except that Narnia was full of, like French guys who were smoking.
I made the decision, I was like, I'm gonna go find the indie booth, play some indie games today.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I didn't know where it was, and so I'm, like, moving past, like, why is this even, like, why is it, there's a huge booth for Orcs Must Die. Mm. Huge booth.
Orcs.
What is that doing there?
Big in Germany. Orcs are big in Germany.
Yeah, they have to die. So clearly you have to kill them on the show floor.
Huh.
But again, like, there's so many... Everything is there. There's all these, like, little... Like, the RC cars, there's a cosplay village.
Mm.
Whole area
cosplay
is
village?
To, Yeah, yeah. There's like Aboriginal cosplayers there.
We found these people. That's why we decided to have.
They actually built the convention around these people.
Sad, very sad story.
They're like, how many times have I told you? I'm not cosplaying. I'm legitimately Native American.
So when you were there, mm-hmm. they have a huge international press and enthusiast presence, I'm assuming, because you were there, right?
Yes.
I
think it's mostly German, though. I think it's like 80%.
I was just going to ask that. Like, does this feel like a... Because sometimes you go to another country or another, like... Sometimes you go there and it's like, oh, I could just as soon be in Chicago right now because I'm in a convention center. I'm in an airport. Like, this... Right. Who knows what this even feels like?
Yeah.
But it felt German?
Yeah, it felt German. I mean, there are a good deal of the people who are, you know, hawking their wares were all in German and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely seemed overwhelmingly German. I'm sure there's a large international presence, but it's probably dwarfed by just the sheer number of, like, Europeans.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of French and, you know, the surrounding territories.
But... Can you smoke inside there?
No. But, you know, I was kind of shocked by how many people smoke in Europe. Like, I forget.
You forget, yeah.
Because we live in California. It's illegal to smoke indoors.
Yeah. It's illegal to smoke next to most public buildings.
Right. There were a lot of, like, areas that were, like, smoking areas, but, man, like, Europeans still smoke a lot.
It's even crazy going to other places in the United States, where it's, like, you show up somewhere in, like, Virginia or even the place like Chicago or something, New York even, where it's, like, man, everyone is smoking.
Yeah, it's
like,
nuts.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about video games.
Sure, yeah.
I was monitoring
those were
this.
There. The little, a few of them were there.
You mentioned the independent booth. Was there anything cool that you saw there?
I played The Flock.
The Flock, yes. Yeah. You wrote something about this.
I did. Yeah, The Flock was definitely my favorite indie game there. But there was actually a big selection of indie games. Mm-hmm. Most of them were from German developers.
Mm.
So there was a bunch of cool stuff. There was some like... oh, I actually also played... God, I forget what it's called. But it's the sort of... what is it called? Fumblecore multiplayer... game where you have to like throw people over the edge.
Oh, is it Gang Beasts?
Yes, Gang Beasts. Yeah. So I played Gang Beasts, which is super cool. I really like Gang Beasts quite a bit. I played The Flock. Mm. There was a bunch of like smaller indie games. Some cool, there's a multiplayer one where you can shrink and grow and it's like pseudo cooperative, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's kind of neat.
But yeah, so there was actually a good selection. My guess is I probably only saw a fraction. Yeah. There was probably another indie booth hidden somewhere around.
I mean, that indie booth could have been inside the other indie booth.
It could have been,
yeah, it's like...
And then I also actually found some time to go to Not Games Fest, which was taking place at the university, the Digital Arts University in Cologne as well, and played some of their indie games, which were pretty cool.
Are these... I guess either one, whether the Not Games or the other or at the Gamescom one, are these folks that have an international presence, or are they just trying to get in front of the German audience, or like who are they trying to get at?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is they all had to be selected, so they were all part of like a competition.
Mm, okay,
I think the majority of them were looking for a much wider global release. Yeah, that's my impression. I mean, there were some that looked like they were relatively. You know, like very artsy and stuff, but I'm sure all of them were trying to get, you know, wider release.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, The Flock is pretty well known at this point.
For I feel like it,
yeah. For an exciting indie game, so it was cool to get my hands on that.
Did they have the developers hanging out there, or were this... Okay.
Yeah, most of the developers who were German were there in person.
Hmm. And anything else on the indie side of things? It was mostly PC stuff? I would imagine it's mostly PC stuff.
Yeah, mostly PC stuff.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they have that, like, what is Xbox calling it now? It's, like, their version of Greenlight or whatever.
ID at Xbox? Independent
Design.
Yeah,
that's what it is, yeah. Well, I think that's even, like, their larger roll-up of, like, that's what we're calling our indie push or something.
Right.
It's, like, ID at Xbox. Was there any, like, I don't know, any vibe on the street with the independent developers about
vibe
any of that stuff?
On the streets. Yeah, I don't know.
Dear Street.
I didn't talk to anybody specifically about sort of the AAA support for the indie games. I'm sure there was a presence there. They were showing off some like indie games for PSN around there. Not at the indie booth, but on the show floor in the Sony section.
I'm interested in that because Sony's always been this generation. Sony made a really smartly made a very huge push early on,
mm-hmm.
mainly because now that we know, video games don't come out on new consoles, so you need all of the indie games.
And Xbox, too. Like, they had Cuphead there again, and a few others.
Oh, I want to play that Cuphead, game so much.
Scott Cuphead is so good. I didn't end up playing it there because the line was absurd.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about lines yet.
Oh, yeah.
So,
talk about queues. Queuing up.
There are signs. Uh-huh. Kind of like if you go to a fair, you know, there's like a long wait that says, you know, your expected wait time from this point is, you know, X number of minutes. There was a sign that said, from this point on, it's 5 hours until you can play Battlefield for 10 minutes.
Why? Let's talk about this culturally
fucking
for a second.
Mind blown. People brought chairs, like lawn chairs. They're like, I'm ready. Whoop, boom. Pizza, there's like, I'm ready to go. They were like poop socking it. They like, could not leave the line.
So this is an interesting thing about just like convention culture in general, but who were these people in line?
I don't know. You know? Did not stand in line with them.
Did they have big cameras? Did you think that they were kind of press oriented?
No. These are fans. Like, these are random. Some of them were kids. Some of them were, you could tell, are like parents and their little kids. You know, I saw mom like yelling at her little kid after he went through the StarCraft line because he didn't get the swag. He's like, you waited a really long time, like, you need to get the swag or whatever.
I thought she was going to be yelling at him because his APM was garbage.
What is this shit? I tried to do better than this.
I mean, especially with something like Battlefield,
people waited for like 3 hours to watch a video. Like, there were demos for Final Fantasy and like Uncharted. It's not hands-on. You don't get to actually play the game. You get to watch a video that's going to be on YouTube
in
3 days.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we live in an unprecedented world where you don't need to go to all these conventions to see the latest stuff.
I don't know what it is, dude. I mean, and Gamescom grows in presence. Like, the number of attendees has grown every year. So I don't understand why people would invest that much time. I think some people are strategic about it.
Yeah.
Like, they go with five friends, and what they, you know, they all want to see Battlefield, so they queue up in line, and then they leave. Like, everybody leaves but one, and they go in rotating shifts or something like that. But I don't know.
Just to, like piss off the other people in line to, like, bring in a whole, like, crew of people at the end?
I presume it's
like
understood. I don't know. I mean, this is the same level of craziness that San Diego Comic-Con is at, right? Like, and a lot of people say, you know what, it's not worth it. Even people who have been hardcore attendees of Comic-Con say, I don't go anymore because the lines are too crazy and it's just not worth my time.
But the thing about Comic-Con is like, okay, I waited in line for 5 hours, but I got to shake Stan Lee's hand or something. Right. You know, like, that's a thing that you can't get anywhere else, where it's like, guys, there's going to be a Battlefield demo. Like, they're going to call it a beta, and it's really just them harvesting your data. You know,
I mean,
like,
I think some of it is maybe like an appreciation or fascination with the scale that these shows have.
Mm.
Like, it's not just that you're playing Battlefront early or even that you're seeing a video early, but that you're at this huge like celebration of games.
Okay, it's an event.
It's like a big event. I don't know.
This is your festival.
I think maybe there's also a level of like fascination with games and the opportunity to see stuff early as like the super special thing. Like, maybe we're idolizing games journalism or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the funny thing about that is maybe there's this kind of sick feedback loop because, you know, back in the day when we only had like magazines or whatever, we would see all of the news basically a month after it happened.
Right.
But now that the exclusivity window, even for experiencing something, is so short, even like every second counts basically.
Yeah.
If I saw this one day before people, all of a sudden I'm special, but it's like, it's just ratcheting up how small the time frame is and how special that time frame is because of the smallness of it.
Yeah. Like, it's absurd. I don't know. I mean, and to be fair, there's other stuff going on, right? Like, if you spent, it's like a, you know, a 3 day or 4 day event for some people.
Mm-hmm.
If you went and waited in line for Battlefront, and that was your day, basically, you could still spend another day, you know, shopping because there's like huge stores, different sections. You could still go watch cosplay. You know, there's like a bunch of stuff you could do. If you're a hardcore fan, then, you know, sure, it's probably worth it, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. So let's talk about, as we talked a little bit about the independent games.
Yep.
How about the AAA games?
All of them were there. Every single one.
Was there a, I mean, obviously, they all have their own airplane hangar worth of shit, but was there a game there that was seemingly ubiquitous? Like, at E3, there's always a game that is, like, it's on all the bags, it's on all the posters and stuff like that. Like, was there a game like that?
Square Enix was giving out really large bags.
Okay.
So that they were the large.
They were the bag, yeah.
They had that large bag market on hold. I mean, again, it's so big.
Yeah.
I could see people going to one hall and never leaving that hall the entire time.
Yeah.
From the sense that I got, it seemed like the biggest lines I saw were for Star Wars Battlefront.
I guess that would make sense.
That's not super surprising. Yeah. And EA in general, Mirror's Edge, some of those lines were very long for Mirror's Edge.
You told me you actually got to touch Mirror's Edge.
I did. I touched it. I played Mirror's Edge.
What was that like?
It's very much like the first Mirror's Edge, but without combat. Or rather, they have combat, but there's no guns, right? So
There's no guns in the guard. Like, the guards don't have guns or anything?
I didn't see guards with guns, no. Interesting. So I'm sure there will be at some point, but I imagine they're clearly diminishing as much of that as possible.
Did it feel like they... So they didn't streamline any of the controls or anything? Like...
I don't recall the control scheme from the first one, so I'm probably not...
Let me, like, take you back to the year 2008 real quick. Do you remember in Mirror's Edge where you had to run, get a full steam ahead to run as fast as you can, jump, press the crouch button in the air to kind of cannonball yourself, make sure you press the roll button when you hit the ground, and then you could parlay that into a slide. But each one of those had to be a distinct button press.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I don't think it's nearly that complicated. No, it's so at this point, there's really only two buttons that you need to concern yourself. The sort of up or jump button and the down or crouch button.
Ah, okay.
And so you just really use those. They even added, I'm still not sure how I feel about this, they added a grappling hook. So there's certain locations that grappling you can swing hook. Across. And it's more about sort of maintaining your momentum.
The hardcore parkour people must be pissed about that.
Probably. If you really wanted to keep a super robust, complicated parkour system.
Yeah.
I think it's toned down quite a bit. Everything else seems pretty similar. The city seems a little bit better designed. It takes place sort of before everything is all, like, white.
Uh-huh.
So it actually feels a little bit more like you're actually navigating a real place than you're navigating, like, test grounds.
That's an interesting phenomenon because it makes sense technologically because you can do better textures and still keep the frame rate up or whatever. But it also... very conveniently fits into the idea of doing kind of a prequel or a reboot because, again, the city hasn't been, you know, whatever, sci-fi-ized yet.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't realize that they were doing that.
So I still think that's pretty good. I mean, there's clearly, you know, a set of mixed-up missions. Like, you could, you know, do time trials in the mission and sort of, you know, open things up. The open world, I don't think, is going to be an issue. I think there were some concerns that, like, how do you know where you're going to go? Yeah. And
you think it's going to be mostly like a hub or something? You're not going to do a lot?
Yeah, I think it's mostly going to be hubs and then missions. Like, the moment you put a mission, you're sort of on your way, right? Like, it creates an optimum path. Almost like, you know, Google directions, right? Mm. It'll tell you where you need to go to get from point A to
Is that just on a, is that like in-world or is there a little radar that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think it's all in-world. There is a map. I don't think that there's radar. It's just in world directions.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the cool things about the first game where things would turn red if you had that option on.
It's exactly the same. It's not as... I don't think it's as on the nose. Like, in that one, everything was red, like, pretty far away as you approached it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it makes a little bit more sense where things are highlighted. I mean, I think the game's going to be good. It clearly seems like it's being made from people who really enjoyed the first game.
I mean, I liked the first game. I mean, some parts of that first game were, like, frustrating as hell. But, that game is actually kind of a pretty good AAA feel-good story.
Yeah.
Where, like, that game is, I don't know, more than 6 or 7 years old now or something like that. And somehow it's getting resurrected.
I know. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. So that was some EA stuff. What was EA pushing anything else?
Battlefield, of course. They were showing off the aerial combat.
Okay. Wait, is it Battlefield or Battlefront?
Sorry, Battlefront.
Because they're doing another Battlefield, too, I imagine.
Yeah, Battlefield wasn't there. Okay. Battlefront was there.
Yeah.
I think that was it for the major EA stuff. Oh, they were also showing off FIFA, and they were showing off Need for Speed.
Okay.
I think, actually, Need for Speed looks kind of good. Like, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
I mean, Need for Speed's been a pretty solid franchise.
And Need for Speed has managed to sort of capture the sort of player that I'm like, which is I'm not a hardcore racing games person.
Yeah, people who feel like Forza is like, I can't deal with all that. Yeah, you know, like,
I can't even pronounce it. Forza. So naturally, like something like Need for Speed seems like I could be into it. Also, fuck yes on FMV. Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad they're bringing it back.
I can never tell with that team whether they're in on the joke or not.
I hope so. I think they are.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff in that they like they announced with like, you know, you're racing against these real people, and I looked them up, and they are, in fact, like, real people in the racing scene.
Hmm.
I don't know who the hell they are, so I don't know why that would sell me on the game, but...
Yeah, people are into racing. I guess. Racing's big.
I guess so.
The Square Enix stuff, was that a lot of Final Fantasy?
Yeah, they were showing off some Heaven's Award stuff, Final Fantasy, Hitman, and...
Oh, how about Deus Ex? Deus Ex is coming out, right? That's Square Enix.
I didn't see it there. I presume it was there, and yeah. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, that seems like they would...
Deus Ex.
Yeah. So, did Blizzard take this opportunity to announce its expansion, or was that shortly before...
No, yeah. So they used the opportunity to announce their expansion. Okay. It was kind of weird, because they had a press conference that people thought they were going to announce something, and then they didn't.
Mm.
And then were like, we're actually going to announce it tomorrow! Mm. Announcement to an announcement! And then they announced it.
And they didn't say anything about any secret next MMO thing that they're working on. This is all.
Yeah, they didn't announce any new crazy thing. Yeah.
Titan.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Blizzard. I didn't get to play Overwatch. That's sort of my biggest regret. I really wanted to check that out.
Overwatch is their free to play shooter slash MOBA
TF2 like. Yeah. Well, because I did get to play Battleborn for the first time, and I also played Gigantic again. Which is...
Gigantic is... Which one?
It's Team Gigantic. It's like they're independent developers. It's a third-person MOBA, but where the bases are huge monsters.
Oh, yeah.
They like, go and move and attack.
I remember that.
I like Gigantic a lot. Battleborn is actually really strong, too. I felt that was really fun. Really good.
Okay.
It felt good.
So, like, this is, like, really, like, MOBAs hitting the main consoles now.
There's a new MOBA
this is...
called Arena of Fates from Namco Bandai, by the way.
Okay.
I find this hilarious. They took every... imagine every famous character from, like, literary history that has now gone into public domain.
So can I play, like, Sherlock Holmes versus fucking Tom Sawyer?
Literally. I mean, I don't know about Tom Sawyer. Sherlock Holmes is, in fact, in the game.
Oh, great.
And I was watching someone play him, and it's, like, hilarious.
Sherlock Holmes versus Hercules.
Sherlock. Grendel is in it. Baba Yaga. They're going old school. Alice from Alice in Wonderland is in it. Like, everybody is in it. It's nuts. It's so weird.
What's the, like, what's that spider from, like, African folklore? The trickster or whatever?
Well,
like,
they can't do gods, because then you're getting into Smite's territory.
Oh, excuse me.
So you gotta say, like, public domain literary characters, but fucking...
Could you have something from, like, American folklore? Like, could you have,
Like, Faulkner himself is in it? What are you talking about?
Could you have, like, Big Blue the Ox as, like, a mount, an epic mount?
Johnny Appleseed as a support? Like, he plants seeds and trees grow out of them? It's so weird.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the format of that.
Yeah, it seems like such, like, a desperate move. Like, well, we could make our own characters. Or we could just fucking take them. No one owns the rights to these guys.
Branding.
Yep.
Huh. All right. Other big company stuff. We talked about EA. Mm-hmm. We talked about Square Enix. I have no clue what's going on with Square Enix these days. I have no clue what's going on with Final Fantasy these days.
I mean, Final Fantasy 15 comes out next year.
But is that like Final Fantasy 15 Gaiden or something? Like there's a million different...
Like zero,
like,
type, yeah. Type Zero.
Yeah, HD exactly. I just don't know what's going on.
I never knew what was going on, though, so...
there was some Tomb Raider stuff that was happening.
Yeah, so I think they showed off some more like gunplay that
and I think they announced like a 6 month exclusivity window or 9 month or something.
No,
like
it's
that.
A year.
Oh wow, that's
it's
even more
crazy. Yeah. It blows my mind. I can't believe it's that long.
They must have paid some big bucks for that.
Gosh, it really kind of bums me out because I don't own an Xbox One, and Tomb Raider was one of my favorite games that year.
Mm.
I mean, the fact that I have to wait an entire year before playing it is kind of...
I mean, you could play it on the PC because it's not...
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
exclusive.
I could. Yeah, that's true.
That's the other hilarious thing where, like, exclusivity is still very much a console game. Like, they're still treating the PC as a non-entity.
Yeah.
Did Valve have any
presence
there?
Well, I mean, that's because, like, Windows 10, you know,
that's true.
The money's all going to the same
all
place.
All going to Big Papa Microsoft.
Yep.
Did Valve have any presence at Gamescom?
Valve was there. They were showing off HTC, the VR thing in the business booth. I didn't check it out, but I don't think they had any other presence there.
Was there other VR stuff?
There was. Morpheus was on the show floor as well. Ah,
interesting.
But they had some issues. Like they had very few, like the lines were crazy and very few opportunities to play.
I didn't hear any about any new demos. They had that like bank heist demo a while back or something.
Yeah, it's like some of the same stuff. I watched somebody play one where, you know, one person is the monster and other people are like little guys throwing stuff at them. Hmm. And you sort of...
dodge around?
Yeah, dodge around. I mean, it didn't seem super in-depth. Hmm. You know, all that stuff is, I don't know, TBD.
Yeah.
Some of the other big things.
Destiny.
That's what I was just going to ask about. So, like, there's a lot of Destiny stuff happening these days.
Yeah, well, The Taken King is coming out later this year. So they were showing off more...
the big paid DLC expansion.
Yeah. Looks good.
Were they revealing new things there, or were they just packaging
stuff? I mean, most of it was packaging. They showed off... I think that they showed... I don't think they showed this at E3, but they revealed... the first one of the first missions from the Taken King. So it's like a new planet.
This is like, okay, so it is new planet. Like you finally made
Taken
it to
King does have a different planet.
Saturn or something.
I think in this case it's still the moon though. It's like a different
the part dark of side the moon.
It was still pretty light.
The bad neighborhood of the moon.
The bad neighborhood. Yeah, the moon is gentrified at this point.
So I'm getting my timelines all mixed up here. Was this where they announced that they are taking Peter Dinklage out of Destiny and replacing him with Nolan North?
I actually haven't heard this.
Oh, whoa. Breaking news. Wait, George.
Hold on,
okay.
What?
They're
removing hold
the on.
Ghost.
I need to first convince you I'm not making this up.
Okay, so
they are patching out Peter Dinklage's all of his dialogue.
His entire performance?
They are re-recording everything.
Are you fucking serious?
With Nolan
Can
North.
Can I click on this like,
you
link
click
here?
On it, yeah. I'm
what the fuck are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm completely serious.
What?
I made a joke when you were gone. I said that we are just a new announcement. I'm going to go back through the archive.
He's re-recording every line of dialogue in the entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I love Nolan North.
So. Yeah, but I mean, did they announce this here or not? Because I was just watching this.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway, so they were... I was wondering if people were talking about this on the floor.
No, they were talking about... So there was a... At one point, these guys come out with the Gjallarhorn, and it was a t-shirt
gun. A for real
gun.
One? Yeah.
A for real one. That was a t-shirt gun. But they did talk about the multiplayer design and showed off and talked about some of that stuff. They answered some questions from the
audience. I'm more interested in like the new experience. I don't know. The design that they're doing. They're basically getting rid of like the gear-based level system.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so they're getting rid of light level attached to gear.
Yeah.
And now it's just experience to level yourself up.
Which is something that I said a year ago, right? like I was like, this...
Well, maybe they're listening.
Guys, this is crazy. Like, but it's also the way that every other video game does experience.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a strange thing where it's like, A, people were kind of pissed off about just how Destiny handled levels.
Yep.
But then B, well, we're just going to make our game more like other games. You know, it's like you can't win, you know? Like, how are they going to...
I mean, I think... I don't know, man. I don't know. I think part of it is they do something that they want to experiment with. They look at all the feedback and then they say, okay, well, let's change it. To some extent, at least they're willing to make that change. Mm-hmm. If they think, people didn't really enjoy level attached to light, we're going to mess with something else. Then
I mean, if it's truly a 10-year cycle, then
I mean, the other thing I think part of the issue was that people were being so selective about what they wore because it was so important that there wasn't as much customization as they would have liked to have seen. And so by removing level from your gear, it lets you play around with gear a bit more freely because then the armor that you wear is more...
Not tied to your ability. It's tied to what you want your character to look like.
Yeah, touch your or to your playstyle, right? There are certain things that are like, upgrades the reload on, I don't know, tossing grenades or something like that, right? Like, well, maybe you can switch those out now. Whereas before, I'm not going to waste time. Like, it's hard enough for me now to get my light to where it needed to be. So I'm not going to waste precious resources on leveling up something that would be cooler, but otherwise, consumes resources.
Hmm.
When it's like, I should just use that to invest in guns or something. I don't know.
I should just use these resources to invest in guns. That's what I...
Hey, man, words to live by.
Okay, let's talk about a few of the other big ones here.
Yeah, 2K was there, so there's more XCOM stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More NBA video games.
The NBA stuff is actually kind of interesting because they... pulled the plug on NBA games for a little while because they were just not good enough, you know?
Yeah.
How about
Battleborn, as I said, from Gearbox?
Battleborn was good.
Yep.
Was there anything from Cliff Bleszinski's game that was out there?
No. What's his game?
Again? I forget what it's called.
Fortnite?
No, that's Epic's new game that's coming out.
Game that's been like in development for.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's kind of like a base type defending, and part Minecraft type game. Let's see. Microsoft itself had a big presence there.
Yep.
I saw some footage of Quantum Break, which
we hadn't seen
Quantum Break for like a year and a half, right?
This is so weird because the Quantum Break sort of made a big splash at E3 when they showed off that weird video where like some random new guy comes in and like time is frozen and it's like sharded.
Yeah.
In like a bunch of different places.
And that was the E3 before last.
But that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, in between that time, they decided they needed, like, a famous actor from Friday Night Lights or whatever he's from. And the game looks totally revamped to me. Like, it doesn't look or have the same feel.
Well, I mean, that might suggest that thing wasn't actually a game that they first showed. I mean,
that's definitely true. Yeah. It's just bizarre to me because it feels like it's taken a very different turn. Now it feels a little bit more humdrum. Like, they showed off some gameplay, which is cool.
It's revolving around like freezing enemies, walking around them.
Yeah, like, to me that doesn't. It still feels like a just a cover based shooter. I don't know if freezing time is interesting enough in that same context. You know, like, and there are enemies that they can't be frozen or they freeze time themselves and stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced it looks as interesting as it first did 2 years ago. I don't know.
Well,
maybe they got focus tested down into what it is today.
Well, I mean, if you look at Remedy's history, I mean, that's kind of the games that they make.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What was the last game they put out? Alan Wake?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's like a shooter.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, yeah, and maybe they're going that route with the acting, right? So maybe they are focusing on the story and they don't want to reveal that much at, you know, live events like this. So, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Interesting. How excited are you on a scale from 1 to 10 for Halo Wars 2?
<Woo! laughs> Yeah, I don't know. I think that game is remembered fondly by people who liked it.
By the like 7 people that played it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was kind of a weird announcement.
Did they have other Halo stuff?
Yeah, I mean, Halo 5 Guardians was there.
Yeah.
I believe.
Because, I mean, I remember all the stuff from E3 where they like had their big multiplayer reveal where it is much more like a Titanfall or whatever, where there's like grunts and stuff like that, and it's kind of objective base, you know, base building or base defending type.
Yeah, type very stuff. Much so. I mean, I think that looks cool. It looks fun. Looks modern. I mean, I'm tempted to pick up an Xbox One just for Halo 5.
Yeah, I was thinking about that same thing because it's like, what would move me to get an Xbox? It basically just comes down to the exclusives, which there are few. And if it's like Quantum Break, that seems kind of far away. Tomb Raider, I could always play that on the computer. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Although it is tempting for me to play Tomb Raider as well. Like if I do pick it up for Halo, then you know I might as well play early on there.
Yeah.
Again, my PC is not super great right now, and I'm planning on building a new one in the near future. But
I mean, we're in this weird place hardware wise where I'm not really going to do any computer upgrades until the Oculus comes out.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a big year for computers.
Yeah, I'm basically waiting until I can build something that I know is going to be, like, Oculus ready.
Yeah. And which is funny because these consoles that we have are going to be around for at least another few years.
Yeah.
And you'll have these games where it's like, okay, well, I could potentially continue to play them on the PC, but I'm going to wait until, I don't know, the PC is going to leapfrog the consoles again really hard like it did the last generation.
Yes.
And so it's just, we're in this strange kind of, this very short window where things like, I'm more confident in my PlayStation 4 playing Metal Gear Solid 5 than I would be my PC.
Yeah.
But that only is going to last for like another year or two, you know, like that's going to be.
So the next Arkham Knight disaster happens.
Right. Well, that's also true. All right. Anything that we did not touch on?
Fallout 4 was there, but it was more of the same.
What's that?
I don't know. Never heard of it before. Fallout. I think it's a band.
Was there anything new around that?
I don't think so. They should have some more of the like skill trees that you can invest in.
I mean, that's good, right? People are interested.
Yeah, but I mean, unsurprisingly, it's Fallout. Like, hey, you could do anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then they should have some gameplay with like the little bomb and doing your thing.
Did they go deeper into the crafting base building aspect
to it?
Nope,
they did not go any deeper into that. But, that game's coming out pretty soon.
That's why I was wondering if they were saying anything
about it. I think at this point, they've sort of unloaded everything they have to say, and now it's just about waiting until people get their hands on it.
We don't know it, but they've actually activated VATS, and they've shot a million times at us, but we just won't know. Yeah.
We're waiting.
They're going to go back into real time in November, whenever that stupid game's coming out, and we're like,
stupid game.
whatever, that game looks... Maybe that will be my first Fallout. I've never finished a Fallout game, so maybe I'll play it.
I'll definitely be playing it again.
Okay, last question.
Yes.
Tell me about...
Would you ever go back? Not by choice.
Tell me about the costume...
the cosplay.
The cosplay experience.
I mean, like any big convention, there are people who are incredible cosplayers. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of cool gender-bending things I saw, like even in League of Legends. There
was female,
like,
Marcus Fenix.
Yeah, female Singed, or like male versions of female characters that I thought was cool. There were people... There was a guy... There's a character named Rammus in League of Legends who is a armadillo, like a spiky armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy who tried to do that and clearly failed, but it was hilarious because they could not move. And the guy was watching him like climb up the stairs with assistance from other people. Could barely walk. Like, oh, what a miserable experience.
You got to, you know, your team's got to carry you. That's a whole new meaning to the word carry.
Exactly. You literally be carried. There was a contest, a live cosplay contest on the Blizzard stage.
Just Blizzard exclusive.
Just Blizzard exclusive cosplay contest with prizing involved. The people that put in time was like amazing. It was amazing. Like, the costumes were stunning. There was a guy that was like some,
like a true Jim Raynor,
like a Protoss,
from, like,
yeah, like a Protoss guy that was on stilts. That was like, there was a woman that like had created these crazy, she was like Brightwing from Heroes of the Storm and had these crazy wings that glowed. There was someone that I'm half convinced was just an actual dwarf. Like, there was just, and I think it was a woman as well. Full beard, face makeup, like, and I went backstage where they were all queued up in line, and you could see that they were all literally like dying inside, and like drinking water, and
so
like,
hot,
like they had fans, friends like fanning them to like cool them down. The amount of effort that they put in was mind blowing. Someone had pauldrons that like moved, so it was like rotating blades on her shoulders.
I just imagine it's like you'd be like, oh, cool Diablo costume. Cool Diablo costume, bro. This is not a costume, mortal.
This is how the invasion begins, like at Gamescom. There was one guy, though, who kind of phoned in a costume, and I found it so funny that he's in this contest right next to all these other people. That it's like amazing craftsmanship. They like literally carved this themselves out of foam and like hand-painted detail.
Like, hey, like, I'm a space marine.
Yeah, he was like a drunk panda. He was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Poor guy.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. I feel like that is something that has gotten even more popular with the big conventions, and like the internet has only accelerated that shit, because now it's like recorded and pictures everywhere. And stuff.
And there was a lot of League of Legends cosplay. And they had their own League of Legends cosplay event as well, which was fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. Well, George went to Germany, so you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's so bizarre, like, especially going from E3 to this and then like PAX Prime in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Events are nuts, man. Like, they're so big and so busy and so overwhelming that I feel like at this point I don't go to them. They just sort of like flow through me. I feel like I'm like falling in a river that's just jostling you around. You're like hitting rocks and stuff.
Just go limp. You don't want to, like,
that's what I do. Just like let it happen.
Yeah,
man.
You
let
just can't. It's kind of like you know, if there's like a traumatic car crash or something like that. It's like you just have to ragdoll.
I mean, I treated myself by like waiting in line a second time to play Gigantic. I was like, I'm just gonna not think about anything. I'm gonna sit in line and read a book, and then I'm gonna play Gigantic. I'm gonna kick some ass.
They should there's side business opportunity. People who are just professional line standers that you can pay to stand in line for you.
I could queue up with the best of them.
B, people who are professional kind of line
assassins.
Well, that is one way. And on the other side, people who sell things to you in line and like sell massages and stuff.
there were massage people there.
You just kick back and just have a massage.
I mean, that's a great idea. Yeah. Actually, you could probably make a good deal of money that way.
There's a lot of sweaty probably cosplayers not, I have to touch, though.
It's probably not legal to sell stuff in line. Drugs.
It just makes the line go real fast.
That's Germany. It's allowed.
All right. That was Gamescom. If you have any thoughts, questions, you can quiz George on what he's going to dress up as next year for Gamescom.
I mean, the amount of like crazy cosplay there, I don't think I'd have room in my luggage to bring it all.
That's actually true. Like, all those cosplayers, like, they either have to ship that stuff. That shit has to get through customs.
Yep.
Or they have to just be, like, the most hardcore German people that live in Germany.
There was a great highlight where I was coming in one day where, like, a security guard had to make sure that a fucking huge, like, 10-foot sword was not a real sword. So he takes the guy's sword and, like, rubs the edge of the blade on his hand, laughs, and gives it back to him.
He's like, okay, I'm going to need to try to chop this log down, and I'm going to wait in case it just kind of slits and then slowly falls anime style.
Well, it's like, dude, the sword is like 10 feet long. If that were made out of real steel, you could not pick it up.
He's like Cloud, is his buster.
Yeah, it was absurd. It was totally crazy.
All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our cosplay village. You know, we'll try. We'll dress up one of these.
You'll never know which... I'm actually George.
Yeah, we've been trading this whole time. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Twitch, we're all over the place. Find us.
All right, until next time, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.